So welcome back. And in this particular session, we're going to be doing some contemplation. So just to kind of go over what we began with at the start, and that is that these sessions are all about different ways to come back out of the thought field, and away from the place that created the problem seemingly, and not because it's wrong or anything, just what's the fastest way for me to get back to that place where there isn't anything that I need to fix? So we'll see that happening with the statement processes we began to experience. I might start off feeling really that there is this real issue in my life and it seems real and I keep experiencing it. So therefore it gets this validity. And then as we work to a higher and higher place vibrationally, we begin to recognize that there's nothing we need to do about this, just to kind of stop our attention going to those thoughts. It is going to begin to change the situation. So another way that we can do that is through contemplation. So contemplation is directly challenging the issue that seems to be arising, looking at the belief underneath the experience that we're having. So the best way to illustrate contemplation is to do it live here. So we have 40 minutes. We'll see if we can get through some live guided contemplation. So if anyone, and we'll have to take the hands that they go up in the order that wants to do it. Elaine is there first. We'll probably have time for two or three. So let's stop at three for now. So we'll go with Elaine first. And whenever you're ready, Elaine, do you want to let us know what you want to start contemplation with? Still muted there, Elaine.
Good, that covered up and mumbling.
Oh, we're back into the silence a bit too quick there, right? With this, yeah.
Okay, I feel disconnected when I have these pattern or a loop of inferiority, superiority, that I get into, especially when I'm confronted.
So what's the emotion around that then that comes up? Is there an emotion? And it could be not in particular when you're being confronted. It could be whichever one's stronger. In that moment where someone's confronting you, is there a negative emotion? Or how do you feel about the fact that the pattern's still going on? It could be that that's where it's holding an emotion around that. Whichever one is stronger, I would say that we go with.
Okay. I think it's sadness. I would have said anger, but there's a sort of moisture. Yeah, it's sadness.
Okay.
So, I have to be in that, or I seem to just be drawn into that without.
So what's the belief then, looking at that? Is it a sense that this is never going to shift, or what is it really that's going on that you feel is the starting place for this? The I statement, the belief, the story. And not necessarily about being confronted, just what would the sadness say to you if it had a mouth to speak? Just in general, what is his attitude to life?
I don't have to be right, or I do have to be right. Feeling that I can't make a mistake.
So is that where you want to start from, a sense that you're scared of making a mistake or something like that? Is that, or you
it's
have to
wrong.
Have it all together?
It's wrong to be wrong.
Well, let's start from there then. Is it true it's wrong to be wrong? That's a good place to start from, isn't it, with that?
Okay. Yeah.
So, and I know you know this because we've done contemplation before, but just for everyone else and my own sake as well, and it's always good to remember. I'm going to ask this question. Is it true it's wrong to be wrong? And we're going to just letting us know whatever answers come up, whether they're thought answers, emotions, sensations, even sounds in your environment, whatever's going on with the body, with the mind, we're allowing all of that as answers. We're not trying to change anything. There's no right answer, no wrong answer. There's definitely no final answer. We're just letting go of the old way of, I'm going to ask this question and there's one answer. And when I find it, that's it. So is it true it's wrong to be wrong? We'll just sit with this question for 5 or 10 minutes, see what happens with it. And it doesn't matter if there's long gaps between answers or silence. That's also a kind of answer too.
I want to shy away from that.
So just staying with the question.
Yeah.
Is this true that it's wrong to be wrong? And again, question is more important. We're not really fixating on any answer. Even if you had a sudden aha moment right now, wow, that's just totally not true. It's just another answer, isn't it? Doesn't matter in that way. They're just practicing this openness, this willingness to question.
I want to go into a ball. I feel that I just want to roll up. And there's a discomfort around the middle of my spine. Yeah.
So your body is giving you some answers there?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're just letting those happen the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
Staying with the question. So your body's kind of saying, yeah, some part of this, yeah, I actually feel this is true, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe some other part of your body's going, no, it's not true. It's kind of relaxing. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Rocking. Yeah. And your body knows what to do with the energy. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just staying with the question, is it really true it's wrong to be wrong?
That's an impossible question to answer. It just feels... it feels ludicrous now. To feel that it's... there's no answer to it.
So kind of an answer of like a brick wall, maybe energetically, something like that, isn't it? Some.
But it is a brick wall, yeah. It puts up a brick wall.
So we don't have to do anything with that. It's just another kind of answer, a sense from the mind and energetically that it's just can't get any further here. It's okay. Just staying with the question anyway. Just because it's nice to sit with a question, to look into it.
Mm.
That's all. Just the looking, just the questioning.
Yeah. Now I feel like I want to push that wall or find a way through it or over it.
So we're just that urge to go beyond the wall is just another kind of answer, isn't it? No better or worse than the wall itself. All the same.
Yeah.
Is it true it's wrong to be wrong?
Well, there's words that come. It's like, I don't want to be found out that I'm wrong.
That's okay.
Yeah.
We're not judging anything that arises here as an answer. We don't need to label it anyway, right or wrong or anything like that. There aren't any good answers, there aren't any bad answers, there's just answers.
Mm-hmm.
Just coming back to the question.
So it all seems to be centered around my head. There seems to be a block around there.
Mm.
It won't travel through. If there is any feeling or emotion with it, it's not letting it, or it doesn't want to travel through. And
so just noticing that kind of energy, there's some kind of energy there in the body that feels stuck in a particular place, maybe. Yeah. Just letting that be. Again, it's not the purpose of contemplation to move that block or anything. We're just noticing the answers. Yeah. So you took a nice deep breath there. That's another kind of answer.
Yeah.
It's important to notice all of these answers because we might not normally count that as an answer. Yeah, my body suddenly feels to take a deep breath. It's just a different type of answer. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really true that it's wrong to be wrong? There's a bit more of a smile there now as well.
Yeah. Yes. The words. Yeah. Yes. And I feel like the fact I've said the words, is it true that it's wrong to be wrong? Is liberating. It's like I've put them outside of myself.
I'm actually just, instead of holding it all in, I'm actually really just looking at this, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to fix anything, just the looking itself with the question feels different, doesn't it, in that?
Yeah, and the words seem amusing in themselves.
Because, you know, if we believe somewhere deep down that it's wrong to be wrong, we're going to have a hard time every time we're wrong about anything, aren't we? Our mind is going to be really busy trying to figure out how to be right all the time or something like that, which is impossible, of course, you know. But so just asking this question is starting to shift the energy around it to come out of trying to fix it, out of this thought field energy.
It felt wrong to put my hand up.
Yeah.
To start me.
In case you're wrong, yeah. In case you get it.
In case I was wrong, yeah. Oh, I've done it. Okay. In case I was wrong.
Yeah. I'm glad you did because even just asking this question, I'm sure a lot of us can identify with it. You know, we've all had that situation where we felt ashamed or embarrassed or something, or even unsafe. by being wrong about something? You know, so it's a good question to go into. So how do you feel now?
I feel relaxed. I also feel that I'm wrong quite a lot.
Yeah. Which is true, isn't it? We're all wrong many times a day, and nobody comes and shoots us for it, you know. But of course, we tend to remember the times where it was a public event or in an important relationship or in a working or whatever it is that, you know, and our ego gives us those examples. See, this is where it's really bad to be wrong, of course.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we've been wrong about all of this, haven't we? So it's quite good to know that it's okay to be wrong. You know, I wasn't actually a separate being ever, you know, and there actually weren't any separate beings out there ever, you know, so it's just coming to be comfortable with that fact, isn't it? And that's why contemplation can be so effective, because we're not looking for a right or wrong answer. There's just these answers, isn't there? Which become, as you've experienced today, more and more positive and uplifting, more and more relaxation in the body as we just stay with that question. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for demonstrating that. I'm sure it's been helpful. And just, you know, if that feels a good question, stay with it, you know, outside of this session, you know, and see where it takes you.
Okay, yeah.
Lovely, thank you.
Remember to smile with it more.
It'll just happen anyway. Eventually, I kind of rewired myself to feel safer when I was wrong about something, because I realized that's when I'm kind of touching upon the truth, right? The actual truth, which is that I'm not separate to anything. Yeah. So they'll just happen anyway as you go through.
Okay.
Lovely. Thank you. Right. Lovely. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you. Natasha, when you're ready.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. That was great. And while Elaine was talking, I thought, well, maybe I'll take my hand down. I don't need to ask my question. I'm such a coward.
It's all right when there's a couple of hands up, but as it's getting closer, he goes, no, this isn't really a good idea.
It's not that important. I don't need to ask this, really.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's quite related. I've been involved this week in a job that was very new for me. And I notice how stressed I get. And there's a belief around like things can't go well unless I'm working really hard, unless I'm kind of stressed, unless I'm pushing. I don't know if it's around worthiness, like if I'm really relaxed and just being who I am, how can I expect things to go well?
I'm going to mess it all up, right? I'm just going to drop the ball.
And it's almost like, yes, that. And I was really trying to relax and just having, also in the GP, it all being about the body. I've got a lot of issues around a shoulder injury and then a tension in my kind of neck, I noticed this week from being in front of the computer. But yeah, there's this sort of sense in the body of tension.
Well, let's brace and get on with it type of thing, isn't it?
And I wasn't totally qualified for the job I was doing, but I was helping someone, and they were very, very appreciative of my help and everything went okay. But there's always in the back of my head this belief that I have to work really hard for this to be okay. Mm-hmm. And yet I kind of know that's not true. And I think I bring a lot that kind of belief to a lot of things in my life. It's like I don't quite believe that things can just work out, you know, that I can just be happy, that I can just be successful, that I think that's never going to happen for me, because I have to work really hard and study more or get more qualifications or in order for that to occur.
And we apply that even to our awakening as well, don't we? I have to, you know, climb a mountain, so to speak, to, you know. So what's the emotion? Sorry, say again.
No, I have to sit in meditation for thousands of hours in order
to. Oh, yeah. I've been there, done that, yeah. Until I can't feel my legs, but, you know, I must be getting somewhere because I've thrown more hours at it or something like that. So is there an emotion that comes up around it, or is it more of a tension in the body?
Just as you said that, I could feel kind of in my solar plexus, there was a real sense of kind of sadness, actually. I kind of feel like crying.
So let's talk to that sadness and ask it what it wants to tell you. Not necessarily about trying hard or anything, but just the sadness. If you just took it by the hand and said, what do you need to tell me? Or how do you see the world, sadness? What would it say to you?
I think it would say that I'm not alone.
What
would the sadness say? Would the sadness would say, yeah, I'm frightened of being alone, probably. I'm frightened of being alone.
Okay. So what question do you want to, turn that into, is it true it's, is it true it's not safe to be alone, or what question feels right around that for you?
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
So is it true it's not safe to be alone? And we'll just sit with that question now. And as before, just telling us any and all answers that come up, whether those are thoughts, feelings, memories, sounds outside, you know, sort of sensations going on in the body, anything and everything, including that breath there. That's a kind of answer. Yeah,
there's a feeling in my body of like being almost locked, locked in this position. And it's almost like I don't dare to move.
So kind of an energetic answer in a way, isn't it? There's a kind of way your body and also a physical body answer. Your body is holding itself a certain way out of habit, maybe. And that's just a different type of answer.
Yeah.
Just allowing that. We're not trying to change anything. We're just staying with the question. Is it true? It's not safe to be alone. We can understand where that kind of idea would come from inside. And we're just gently questioning that.
Yeah, there's a sense of being a small child here.
Yeah. So memories, emotions tied to memories might come up in the answers.
Yeah.
Just allowing those best you can. Coming back to the question. Our mind is going to give us all the evidence it can think of as to why it's not true. I mean, to why it is true, rather. And just sitting with the question, just we're not trying to figure anything out. We're not trying to fix anything. Question is doing the work here for us. Can you feel that your body is trying to release this energy with this?
I can totally feel that.
In the openness. Yeah.
But this sort of breathing, it's like literally sort of wants to just shake.
Yeah.
Shake and move. And
okay, if you need to do that, have a little dance, whatever you want to do. We won't laugh, promise.
I'll get up and have a little dance for you all. Yeah, literally.
There was a time when still every now and again, I keep wanting to do this, you know, and
yeah,
I feel it's a little tension sometimes. Your body will do whatever it needs to do. Just staying with the question in that. Is it true it's not safe to be alone?
That feels much better.
So you can kind of see that your mind, maybe even your awakening, you've seen that it's really not true, but your body is still assuming the crash position in some way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Habit or something like that.
Yeah.
Like brace for impact type of thing, fight or flight going on. Yeah. Just sitting with a question here is, we can't be believing this story and questioning it at the same time. So as we're questioning, our body is finally able to, not that this is the purpose of, it's not the reason why, there is no reason why we're questioning. We're just questioning because it feels nice to finally look at this. In that openness, things will begin to move that's been stuck.
Yeah, and there's a sense that the there's this just beneath the surface, there's this sense of kind of, it's bubbling up, the truth of it, that it isn't true at all.
You might have two answers going on at once. One where there's a deep peace that you're more and more aware of that has just never been true. And also your body might be tense in some places. Yes, it is true. So we're not, you know, it might be both of those going on, and it's okay.
Yeah, there's a sense now of wanting to laugh, actually. It's like the same solar plexus that wanted to cry now kind of wants to laugh. And there's a kind of softening there.
And it might be that we have to, you know, you have to come back to this question a couple of times to really allow all of this tension to be released. And just to kind of remind our muscles, our chakras, our meridians that it's okay to chill out now. We've been kind of experiencing these thoughts for such a long time in terms of different bodies coming and going. That sometimes just a little repetition of the question is needed. Anytime you start to feel yourself feeling, you know, sort of going back into that. Just to recenter around the question. And your body will do whatever it needs to do to release that, whether it's stretching, breathing, laughing, crying, yoga, walking, any of those, all of those, you know, sleeping, sneezing. Sometimes for me, it was yawning. You can kind of feel it knows what to do, right? It's got its own intelligence, but it needs us to question before it can do that. What's happening for you now?
I feel immense gratitude.
So can you see it's all right to have the kind of the yes and the no? Yes, it's true, and no, it's not at the same time.
Yeah.
And your body might continue to tell you, this is true. This is true. It's not safe to be alone. It might tell you that for a little while through its muscles and all of that. And through your experience, you might have that experience every now and again. But staying with the question, your body will begin to tell you more and more how much you're still believing this. And you can feel that shifting on a sliding scale. Like right now, you don't believe it as much as you did when we started.
Yeah.
It might not be 100% gone, but just as we stay with the question, as you come back to it a little bit each day, if you're feeling you're in the middle of work and you just kind of stop a minute and you recognize that you're really tense, you can go back to that question and be with that. Just enough to stop your body from tensing right up into this. It's we all have our particular muscle groups that are just so tight.
Yeah.
I've never met a single being that didn't have this tension around the neck and the shoulders, especially around awakening. There's lots of nodding heads because we all feel we have to do something about our suffering or become something or merge into the self or any of that, right? Or I have to find a way to feel safe, or I have to find a way to feel worthy. Those are impossible jobs for us because we're already safe and worthy and all of that. So the question is bringing you out of that kind of place in the mind where the thoughts are more addictive and seductive than the actual experience of truth.
That's been really liberating, this idea that when we were doing Bev's statement process, that we don't actually have to do anything with this. Like, I can feel this energy in the body and I can just see it's energy manifesting. It doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah, it's just a frequency. And if I believe I have to do something about this, whether it's awakening, getting the right job, releasing resistance, transcending a karmic pattern, whatever it is that I feel I have to do something about, there's going to be this tension in the body as I try to do something about it and fail each time.
Yeah.
Because the problem only exists on that level, doesn't it? And as I come out of it, get to a higher place, I can see that it doesn't really exist. And I can release this tension that's built up in the body. We're all trying to do something that we're not capable of. You know, I'm trying to prove to myself and reach a place where I finally feel safe, but from the assumption that I'm not safe. Is that ever possible?
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to prove it's okay to be alone when I could never be alone. Or there's only ever been me, you know, whichever one of those feels most true. You just kind of get clear of that heavier energy. It becomes more and more obvious anyway, doesn't it? As we saw with the statement process, we're seeing now with contemplation in that.
Yeah. And there's also a sense that while I'm caught in that belief, I can't share all that I am with other people. It can make me very small.
And I'm glad you've brought that up, because that is the one thing that keeps us, these patterns going around. If I said, all right now, who wants to sit and have a cup of tea with me here? Probably everyone would want to. Who would actually be brave enough to do it would be different, you know, not because I'm mean or anything, but because when we're in that lower place, the first instinct is to shut down, guard ourselves, contract, you know, and protect. And therefore we close ourselves off from all of the help that's around. So I have plenty of sofa space and cups of tea and all of that, metaphorically, for anyone that's anyway, back on the topic. You can see that as soon as you get to a higher place, that urge to close down disappears, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to push through that, like Elaine said, and put your hand up anyway. Or
yeah.
And it's much easier to do that with your GP buddy, to reach out to one person who's also in the same place sometimes, you know, and then you can reach out to a bigger group, and then maybe you can put your hand up in the class and say help, you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just starting from wherever you're at and whatever you're struggling with, and this is not just for you, Natasha, but for everyone, I can guarantee I've been there, and I can guarantee at least half the people on this Zoom call are feeling the same way.
Yeah.
You know, but we all have this crazy idea that we're the only one going through it.
Yeah.
And that we shouldn't be going through it or something like that.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Thanks so much, Helen.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. Mm. Lovely.
Love you.
Love you too. Yeah. So, Will, did you want to? We have a few minutes left. I saw your hand up there, Will, but if you don't want to, that's okay.
Hi there, Helen.
Hi.
Thanks for bringing it up, because I probably do, but I don't know if it's...
I'm always hesitant whether to do that or not, because if you didn't want to actually do it, you know, it's like, oh, no, now I've just put you on the spot, but yeah.
No. I was just thinking that I feel a real need to voice this, and I don't actually have a GP buddy. So if there is anyone out there that can really relate to where I am with all this, it's such a big thing for me. And it really, it's really what's going on in the world in the last 2 years, and the freedoms and the vaccination thing. And I just find I can kind of move away from that a little bit. I'm like unvaccinated, or like vaccine free, as I would see it. And I see the world being taken over by this really dark force right now. As this is my own interpretation of it. I mean, it's like probably, you know, just complete craziness, but
do that to yourself, eh? How you feel is how you feel, yeah?
Well, I'll tell you, 2 years ago when this started, I kind of bought in at the beginning, and then very early on, I could see where this was going to where we are right now. Like, I heard this thing about vaccines, and I knew immediately that what was going to happen was that they were going to introduce these laws and regulations, and it was all about controlling the people, managing the herd, and that it was all about taking our freedoms away. It was all about mass surveillance. It was all about in getting our body sovereignty and handing it over to big, powerful corporations like big pharma and tech companies. And that the start of it would be jabs, but then it would quickly move into biochips and stuff like this. And yeah, just all this kind of Orwellian nightmare that, you know, I personally had put this stuff a well away in my closet. I'd like looked into this stuff many, many years ago. And it kind of had been...
Maybe it's happening because there's a desire there in you that hasn't been fully acknowledged. What is it you would like out of this? So not just for the sake of time here, you've been describing what you don't like and don't want. What is it that you do want here? I'm not invalidating how you feel. I'm just saying, what's the best thing we can do about this here now is to form a clear desire, I think.
I personally want people to be free and happy, yeah. And I just have this sort of gloomy feeling around it all. And personally, I would really love to see a more positive kind of take on a more positive view of things.
So let's do 5 minutes with this question. Is it true we can't be free to choose? Or what question feels good for you around this? This is kind of dark feeling that we can't choose. Well, what's the opposite of that? What would you want? And is that true? It can't happen.
Well, I mean, just in terms of the contemplation that you're just doing, I mean, is it true that I can still go into these dark places, but still be see them as being, you know, coming from that other place, like being free from that. Yeah. So the two things are I'm able to immediately shift when this takes me over. I'm not like this all the time. It's every so often will trigger this. Recently it's been triggered a bit more, but it just seems to be something I can't get away from.
So here's the crux of it. This energy field arises in the body and I feel kind of maybe overtaken by it or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and it feels like something very, very old in me. It feels like we've been at this point in history before.
Many times.
Yes. Yeah. And it can go either way. Yeah. Yeah. But that's how I feel.
So is it true you don't have any control over this? Maybe this when this comes upon you and collectively as humanity, is it true you don't have any control over this? Do you have to just grin and bear it? Or is it true you can't transcend it? Or what feels important to ask? Is it true I can't experience this and stay free?
No, I mean, the truth is, Helen, I know, like, I've connected, and I've only seen this before, when one of the spiritual experiences I had many, many years ago was connecting with a really powerful energy that I felt, I don't know what that was. And I can't help but feeling that that's what I need to connect with right now.
That was you. Yeah. Do you feel cut off from that, not able to access that when these energies come up?
I've never seen that energy as part of myself. I've always just been aware that it exists,
So for the sake of time here, because we're running out of time.
I know, I'm sorry. Okay. You brought me in and it was like...
I know, but this is important. I'm not going to let you wriggle out of this one, but okay. Just because I want to help you, obviously, but because there'll be everyone nodding their head here, everyone feels this way about something that comes up for them in their life, whether it's to do with a vaccine or an employer that's just not treating them fairly or whatever it is. This energy field comes up and I don't feel that I have any ability to get out of it when that happens or something like that, isn't it, happening inside? What do I do? Or I feel powerless when this comes up, this energy. I feel just, you know, cut off from all that is good and true, maybe, something like that.
No, exactly that, Helen. You've articulated that very well. That's exactly how I feel,
So if I were you, I would stay with that question, put some attention over the next couple of weeks really on that question. So we see what we don't want to see. We see what we don't want in the world. And then it stimulates a desire inside, a very strong desire. And no wonder, because here in a group like this, we value freedom, we value choice, you know, and all of that truth. And so this desire, if I were you, I get clear on what the desire is, and then sitting with the question, why can't that happen? And there's two things going on here. Perhaps that you don't 100% believe that the change you want to see can happen in the world, which is no surprise, because we all start off from that place, you know, with these big pharma companies and all of that. How can we possibly make a change just by contemplating, mine says, me in my little room here, you know? And then there's also this same thing happening on an internal level, that when this big field comes up inside, I can't do anything about that. I've just got to kind of endure it or something. Yeah. But as you begin to get clear on what you actually want, that energy can start to move. So what's your biggest, and I'm not asking you to tell us right now, but what's your biggest dream around this? And why can't that happen? And because your mind will have 100,000 reasons why not, because this person, that company, that CEO, you know, but staying with that question, why can't it happen? That's an excellent contemplation question, until you see no reason why it can't happen. Until you see, I had to do this with my own awakening. I wanted more than the set percentage of people that wake up in any generation, to me, was unacceptable. Of those that want to, unacceptable. So I wanted that number to be as high as possible. And my mind gave me all these kind of reasons why that couldn't happen. And I had to sit with every one of those reasons as it came up during contemplation. Well, is it true still that it can't happen? Here's what you want here, coming up very strongly. Why can't it happen? That's a really good question to sit with, isn't it? In that. These energy fields get stuck in the body because the desire is so strong, but we won't let it really be felt because we don't believe we can have that happen. Especially when your desire is about all of humanity, it's going to be very strong, isn't it? It's going to feel terrible if we're not working with it when it arises. It's going to feel very heavy. Yeah. Does that give you some direction to go forward with?
It does. And I'll just say one thing, and it will sound even more crazy, but because I heard you were watching that Wheel of Time, yeah?
Yeah.
And there was a scene in that where...
The Expanse, season six, The Expanse.
I saw that was coming too. Yeah. But the wisdom woman, she didn't know her own power. And at one point she actually... because she really wanted to, she really blasted that power and tuned into that. And it really came out as something really powerful on the earth.
A strong desire in that moment. She had a strong desire that she finally allowed. The desire to do good in that moment was stronger than any of her unworthiness or anything. This is what's trying to happen for you. You should definitely buddy up with Ian because he's a big Wheel of Time fan. definitely. I think he's going to contact you anyway. I know I'm trying to put you on the spot there, but the point of all of this, because we have time here, is getting clear on your desire. And life has given you constant examples, even through this TV program, of what happens when we don't. What if our reason for this incarnation is to sit with this question? What if you came here with this body and mind to sit with this question and transcend the reasons why? I saw that humanity had been experiencing this belief that not many people wake up. And it had to start with one body and mind. Why is it like that? And really, is that true? Even though there was so much evidence to the contrary, thousands and thousands of years of one in a million or one in 10 million waking up, whatever the number is. And here, it's the same thing for you, a desire that feels impossible to actually manifest right now. What happens if we all take what we feel is impossible and question it long enough? And this very intensive is evidence of my contemplation happening, this very family in a very literal way. But I had to sit with that even when I felt it was impossible. And I felt stupid, you know. Who am I to think that I can get all these beings to wake up? And you'll feel that, right? Who am I to want this when there's so many things against it, working against it? But will you want it anyway? And will you really just deeply examine why not? Why not? It's something we can all do, isn't it? We all want some change in the world somewhere. And that desire will get more and more painful until you do this with it. Because you're not being authentic with it, are you, when it comes up authentically yourself in that? You want this for a reason.
Yeah. I'll need to contemplate, but that's beautiful to hear those words. And thank you for what you do and for having that conviction about the fact that we can wake up, because that's so powerful.
Thank you, thank you. Lovely to talk to you, Will.
You too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Helen.
Okay, so that's bring us slightly past time. Thank you very much. I will stop this recording here.